All right, Bob Almanac. We have a couple of Bob Almanac salutes.
Really? I miss this.
You didn't hear that Alto Reed had passed away?
One of the greats.
Yeah. Oh, that's a haunting saxophone from Turn the Page. He works with Bob Seger and other artists, but most notably with Bob Seger. And what a great name. That wasn't his birth name, of course.
I don't think so.
You're going to play sax. Why not be Alto Reed?
The Silver Bullet Band. When I was when I saw him in concert, that song was hot. All of a sudden, you know, the song starts with him doing that, and he's out in the middle of the crowd. You know, he just showed up in the middle of the crowd with a saxophone. The spotlight hits him, and he starts the song. That was just so cool.
Alto Reed passed away at the age of 72 yesterday. He had been battling colon cancer, and then this one.
There is a lady here who also has sweetness and warmth. The lady I would pick is the most beautiful in the world, Marianne.
Here's to Marianne.
Yeah, it's Marianne from Gilligan's Island. Sadly, she is gone at the age of 82. Now, she had what they're reporting as complications from COVID-19.
Right.
She passed away. She was in an assisted living facility, and she was 82. So I think that only leaves Tina Louise.
Ginger?
Ginger, as the only member of the Castaways that is still with us.
She's still with us. Okay.
She is still, yeah. She tweeted, I'm pretty sure she tweeted out her condolences.
Well.
And her memories of Don Wells as Marianne.
Because they always said that, you know, after the show, Tina Louise was the one that was always hardest to get along with, that didn't always want to participate in some of the things.
But yeah, she didn't come back for any of the TV movies.
Right, right.
They had to bring in a different Ginger, but, you know, she mellowed after time.
Yes, and good for her.
Yeah. I don't know if he was ever really bitter towards Marianne. How could you be bitter towards Marianne?
Hard not to like Don Wells.
And we, of course, confirm what we've always known, that the professor was a Marianne person.
Yes.
He was a Marianne guy, so we say goodbye to Marianne at the age of 82. Last almanac of the year, December 31st, last day of the year, day number 366. It was a leap year, so we have the extra day here, 1879, Thomas Edison, you may also call him Thomas Alva Edison if you'd like. He gave the first public demonstration of incandescent lighting at his Menlo Park, New Jersey laboratory. This was still very unstable. I mean, you go back to the 1870s and 1880s, you put your life on the line when you just turned on a lamp.
Because
they were powered by gas, there was pressure, there was unregulated electricity. They were using arc lights and lamps. Actual arcing electricity, not running it through a filament. I mean, you put your life. I mean, you could get an explosion just by turning the light on.
When kerosene sounds much safer, you know you're dealing with something volatile.
So that was 1879. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians played this song as a New Year's Eve song for the first time. It's become a tradition. It's a song that dates way back, I believe, from the Scottish Isles. If I remember my music history correctly, going all the way back to the 18 and 1700s.
So what year did they do this?
1929, and this is a version that was recorded in 1939, as close as I could get. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians.
Very nice.
1929. We'll probably hear that somewhere here tonight. Will you be playing that at the Fox and Hound Club tonight?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Nobody bringing a kazoo? I mean, at least bring a kazoo. You could do it right there. I can't lend you my kazoo, but you could pick one up at Ben Franklin.
I would think, yes.
1938, Dr. R.N. Harger introduced his Drunkometer. It was the first ever breathalyzer.
Oh.
Interesting name. It sounds like the name of something, if you were going to buy a breathalyzer at Walgreens on the shelf where it's as seen on TV.
Or Spencer
next
gifts.
To the clapper, or next to the Chia Pet, or the Brett Favre beard trimmer.
The lava lamp.
The copper fit.
Yes.
If you were going to buy a breathalyzer there, it would be called the Drunkometer. Where do you stand on the Drunkometer? Neil, where will you stand on the Drunkometer at about 11:59 tonight? That's the big question. How high are you going to be up on a scale 1 to 10? You're not willing to tell.
We'll plead the fifth.
Yeah, that's what I would do, too. So that was
I'm too old.
1938. Yeah, you really should scale back.
I peter out.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf. Third.
So this day, 1961, the Beach Boys played a show. They were opening up for Ritchie Valens on this date. It was actually Ritchie Valens' memorial concert.
That's
Ritchie Valens was resurrected
in
1961. But it was a Ritchie Valens memorial concert in 1961. And it was the first time that they were known as the Beach Boys. They'd performed before in public, but they were known as the Pendletones. Just a pretty good idea that they changed their name.
I think so.
Pendletones wasn't very 60s. It was more 50s, and they went with Beach Boys. And this was their first release called Surfin' Surf.
Beach Boys, perfect name for these guys, of course.
So 1961, Beach Boys basically became the Beach Boys. 1967.
It is called Russian Winter. The kind of brutal cold that made Napoleon and Hitler flee in panic from the doorstep of Moscow. But in Green Bay, it is called Packer Weather. Here, men conquer and laugh at the elements. Today, Vince Lombardi's Packers walk toward an unprecedented third straight NFL championship.
And they would win that championship on a Bart Starr quarterback sneak. Neil, it was the Ice Bowl.
Ugh.
At Lambeau Field, 15 degrees below actual air temperature. The wind chill was 40. And much like Hitler and much like Napoleon, the Dallas Cowboys, they battled, but they ended up retreating.
That was the epitome of the frozen tundra.
It was. That's where we got that name, basically, from the highlights of that game. 72.
The year 1973, just flashing briefly, when it hits there, you can bet your bottom dollar, it'll be pandemonium.
We're about to see pandemonium. First time, 1972 into 1973. It would have been New Year's Eve 72 that Dick Clark had his first ever New Year's Rockin' Eve. Dick Clark had great ideas.
Oh, no.
He was a pioneer.
He was. He had great ideas. He goes, you know, we should have a televised party with musical guests, and I would host it and the whole thing, and then maybe later on we would do a version of the $25,000 pyramid as part of it. Why not? So it was on ABC, of course. Dick Clark's Rocking Eve began this date, 1972. 75.
Yes, there were times, I'm sure you do.
With an historic performance at the brand spanking new Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan, soon to be the home of the Detroit Lions. He set a world record. He earned $800,000 for a single concert by a single artist. 60,000 fans, not as many as WrestleMania 3, but
not bad.
So 60,000 fans. And I wish the audio was better, but I think any recording from this is some guy in the crowd with his TAC reel-to-reel recording it.
The acoustics weren't good, though.
No, I mean, it was like the Metrodome.
Right.
Any of those dome stadiums, acoustics are really, really rough. Even a brand new one like U.S. Bank Stadium troubles with
took them a while,
acoustics. Yeah. It's still not great.
No.
That was in 75. How about 84?
The seatbelt apparently wasn't clipped in properly. And it was the seatbelt that actually came across my chest and actually severed my arm.
So you thrown
out of all the one-armed drummers, Def Leppard's Rick Allen is probably the most famous. This was the date that he was injured in a car accident. And again, his left arm was basically torn off. They had to amputate the rest, tidy it up a bit. And then he went to work in fixing and creating a drum set where he could play it basically with his 2 feet and his one arm.
Yeah.
And he didn't miss a beat.
No, he was pretty,
pun intended,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that was 1984, a year later.
A night of celebration has turned into tragedy.
Singer Ricky Nelson was killed with half a dozen other people in a plane crash near DeKalb, Texas.
Were they freebasing cocaine on that plane, Neil?
Sounds like there was some illegal narcotics involved.
There was a fire and a problem on the plane, and Rick used to be known as Ricky Nelson. He was a traveling man, and he was traveling this date, and six others perished when fire broke out aboard a plane that was carrying the group to a New Year's Eve performance in Dallas, Texas. He was just 45 years old.
No garden party there.
He had so many more years of performing and being able to spread his music, and he would have been right there at the late 80s when the oldies just All of a sudden, everybody was wanting oldies. We want oldies. It was right late, that mid to late 80s. The 50s and 60s music just exploded again. He would have been on the top of that with all of his hits.
Sure.
But missed out on that, 1985. And then in 88.
I'll tell you what's coming over Soldier Field. It is a fog. Yeah. A heavy fog now is setting in over Soldier Field.
Look at it rolling in from the south.
Yeah, coming right over the top of the stadium on the south end.
So we had the Ice Bowl on this date in 67. Then in 88, it was the Fog Bowl. At Soldier Field in Chicago, the Bears are playing the Eagles in the playoffs. And you couldn't see. I remember watching this game.
TV, you can't
I remember
see.
It was Terry Bradshaw and what's Lundquist's first name?
Vern.
Vern Lundquist. And they were calling the game. You couldn't see cameras, even the ones right along the sideline. Those are the ones they tried to use. They couldn't use the ones.
Yeah, you could see a little bit there.
You couldn't see the ones at the 50 back at the press box. You had no shot at it.
Nothing.
So it was one of the wackiest games ever. And the Bears ended up, they were one of the best fog teams in the history of the NFL. If you're going to have any team to play in the fog, it would be Mike Ditka's Chicago Bears. They won the game 20-12, and they would go on to lose to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game, who pummeled the Vikings also that same round.
Right.
The Vikings had beaten the Rams in the wild card, and then they went back to San Francisco because the year earlier, that's when they upset the 49ers.
Right.
In 88, this would have been then later, January 89, then they got pummeled like 34-9. Roger Craig just ran all over them.
Throttled.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. All right, let's move on to birthdays. But before we do that, I need to remind you that the Bob Almanac, believe it or not, has a sponsor. Split Rock Coffee, nice enough to sponsor our show here, the Bob Almanac, disabled veteran-owned Split Rock Coffee. Coffee you can drink all day. They've got great beans from around the world, lower acidity, and perfect balance of flavors. Ask your grocer about Split Rock Coffee, or you can go to splitrockcoffee.com to order online.
Hello, Clarice.
Dr. Lecter, my name is Clarice Starling. May I speak with you?
You're one of Jack Crawford's, aren't you?
Hello, Clarice.
I am, yes.
Boy, that thing where he does the... Where it's like he's eating a spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A strand of spaghetti, but he's like visualizing, having her on a plane.
That's just...
It's...
Yeah, he's quite an actor.
He is. He just announced his sobriety. I don't know how long he has been, but he just announced it. It was a social media post just ahead of his 83rd birthday. He is a sir, by the way. Sir Anthony Hopkins. Of course, that's him from his haunting portrayal of Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
In Silence of the Lambs.
They've been, one of the channels been showing the two Zorro movies. Of course, he's in the first one. It's so good.
Andy Summers is the guitar player for the Police. He's 78. And we know it's him playing the guitar and not Sting, because Sting here is playing the cello. I didn't know he could play the cello.
No.
But Andy Sumners, one of his buddies, Stuart Copeland's the other guy. Andy Sumners is 78. Ben Kingsley's won an Academy Award.
It is our view that matters have gone beyond legislation. We think it is time you recognized that you are masters in someone else's home. Despite the best intentions of the best of you, you must, in the nature of things, humiliate us to control us.
I thought that was really Gandhi. When he played Gandhi,
right.
He won the Oscar for that. He's one of the bad guys in one of the Iron Man movies. Mm-hmm. Of course, the plural of Iron Man is Iron Man. Ben Kingsley, 77.
Stand tall, don't you fall. God's sake, don't go and do something foolish.
The lead singer of the Guess Who.
One of my favorite concerts ever at the Medina.
Burton Cummings. So a great voice. He can really get up there in the upper octaves.
And he still can, and he's a great piano player and entertainer.
He does a fantastic Gordon Lightfoot impersonation. If you've never heard his Gordon Lightfoot impersonation, Gordon Lightfoot singing Rod Stewart's Maggie May, you want to look at it. Look it up on YouTube.
He's got a great sense of humor. He's a funny guy.
Burton Cummings is 72 here today.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Screw around. They're serious this time.
Take it easy. I'm in pre-law, man. Thought you're pre-med. What's the difference?
He was Otter on Animal House. Oh, you're pre-med. What's the difference? 72 for Tim Matheson.
Hey, he was the voice of Johnny Quest. Come on.
Now when the day I was born, the
nurses all gather around.
If it's not Haji, I don't care.
Wide wonder.
So, George Thorogood, 71 today. Perfect mix of blues and rock and roll.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
You go see a show that he gives you your money's worth, that's for sure.
George Thorogood, 71 on our list today. She joined the Cheers crew and she fit right in with Frasier.
Well, I suppose I am just a little sensitive when it pertains to my appearance.
Well, if I may be so bold as to step into your arena, I believe that Frasier's hostility is masking a deep attraction to you.
Thank you, Diane. It's been a long time since I've had such a good laugh.
She was Lilith Sternum Crane.
Oh, so good.
Lilith Sternum Crane, BB Baby Baby. BB Newirth is 62.
Can I persuade you to take a sandwich with you, sir?
I'll get drive-through.
Fans of the All Request Lunch Hour might recognize that little drop there.
I think we do.
That's from Batman Forever. It's Val Kilmer. He was Iceman as well. He and Maverick had quite the rivalry, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Val Kilmer is 61. Rick Aguilera, happy birthday today. He's 59. Saved a lot of games for this ball club. Came over in the Frank Viola trade and helped us win the 91 World Series, Neil.
Nice job.
Rick Aguilera, happy birthday. Scott Ian, who is the guitarist for the group Anthrax, he's the one with the beard. It's like a goatee that reaches all the way down to his sternum.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No? Scott Ian from the group Anthrax. Now, you know I've heard of Anthrax, haven't
I've
you?
Heard of them, yeah, I don't.
And I like, when it comes to my heavy metal bands, I like my heavy metal bands to be named after episodes from Little House on the Prairie.
Mm.
So they had an episode called Anthrax. The other great hard rock and heavy metal bands that I like, Christmas on Plum Creek and The Return of Mr. Edwards. Also a couple of pretty good heavy metal bands. So he's a member of the New Kids on the Block. You know, when they're dancing on stage, they could have been a good clogging team.
Yes.
If your house has got a clogging problem, they would have been perfect for that Geico commercial.
Yep.
Joey McIntyre is 48. This guy, out of all the great Korean artists and stars, he's my favorite.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
You've heard this. Bob Morning Show in the Almanac is your official Gangnam Style station. 3.9 billion views on YouTube, Neil. What do you think of Korean pop music, Neil? Are you a big fan?
Yeah, it cooks, as we say in the business.
Psy is his name. He's 43. And our rapper of the day today is Papoose.
Ooh.
The rapper Papoose, American rapper, born in Brooklyn, New York, this date, 1978. That would make him 42.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gone but not forgotten. We have a very, very short list today. We'll mention a famed Nazi hunter and human rights advocate, Simon Wiesenthal. You may remember him from some of your history books, 1908. But there are a couple of big names here, and certainly the biggest for me would be John Denver.
And I'm looking for space.
He skirted those lines of pop and country.
Singer,
right along the
writer.
Fence. He was right along the fence.
Yeah. Crossed over. Who didn't like John Denver? There's something wrong with you.
Charlie Rich.
Yeah, well.
No, that really wasn't the story.
That wasn't.
Read into it.
Yes, exactly. John Denver, though, was born on this day, 1943. Of course, we lost him way too early. And Grammy Award-winning singer Donna Summer.
Talking about the sad girl.
She's the queen of disco.
Sad girl. Talking about the head girl.
One of the mid-70s there.
Well, if she's the queen of disco, who is Gloria Gaynor, though? Is she the first lady of disco?
Yeah. Grammy award-winning singer Donna Summer right there, born on this very day.
And what did she do for the money? She did something for the money. What did she do for the money? How did she get her money? She worked hard for her money. Now they're all gone.
But not forgotten.
Happy New Year, everybody. And this is now the conclusion of today's Bob Morning Show. It comes to the conclusion and the end here, the Bob Almanac. Would you like to start your Bobathon, no repeat work day, and Bob Midday with Sawyer Brown, Some Girls Do?
That really got in your craw, man. Holy cow.
You just got to follow the rules here. We're going to follow the rules, Neil. Mm-hmm. Don't do my bit. Come up with your own bit. B.J. Thomas, Whatever Happened to Old-Fashioned Love?
You decide.
Or Earl Thomas Conley, Don't Make It Easy for Me? Well, we'll go with Earl Thomas Conley. Just for Neil Freeman. Happy New Year, everybody. Bob FM.
KDDG Albany. KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KBGY Faribault.